Cowboy.
This is an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow, live from Radio Row.
Radio Row.
At the Georgia World Congress Center, this is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
Presented by Berryman Automotive Products and Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And we are alongside Radio Row here in Atlanta getting ready for Super Bowl 53. And you start the week, and the teams arrived yesterday, and you start thinking about what you're going to get on Sunday, right? You've got a whole week of hype. We've already had a week of minor hype. Wait till it really starts cranking up this week. You start thinking about these two teams, and you start thinking about all the different fan bases around the country that will gear in to watch Super Bowl without their team in it. Outside of New England and L.A., the Ram fans and the Patriot fans. What do you have, right? Well, it looks like we have a country that likes the new blood, likes the Rams, likes Jared Goff, likes Sean McVay. But it has nothing to do with them. It has everything to do with their opponent. It has everything to do with the Patriots. You could have placed any NFC team in the position of the Rams, and you'd still get the same reaction. This isn't, oh, I like the Rams. I like what they do. I like their coach. I like Jared. That is secondary to the reason why most of the America is rooting for them this weekend, if you believe all of the kind of online polling and, you know, Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, how they kind of judge all that. It has everything to do with the Patriots, and it is a remarkable thing that I still continue to process over and over again, that this is yet another Super Bowl, and yet here they are. Here are the Patriots again. It feels like we go through this story, and we've gone through this story 3 years ago. Every time they're here, it is the same thing. Is America tired of the Patriots? Is America tired of them winning? Now, there are going to be some fans outside of New England who are not Patriot fans who will root for New England for the simple historic nature of it all, who sort of get the big picture. They're not bitter at the Patriots for any reason. They're not mad over Spygate. They're not still fuming over Deflategate. What they are is looking at what Tom Brady and Bill Belichick continue to do over and over again and say, you know what? I doubt I'll ever see this in my lifetime. I probably won't get this in another generation, maybe even a second generation. But I'm getting it now, and I'll enjoy it now. And I think that's what is kind of interesting to me, that there are still people out there that go, you know what? I don't care about the Patriots, and I don't care about the Rams, but for this Super Bowl, I like what Brady and Belichick are continuing to do, and I'm going to root for them. But everybody else, they're on the Rams or whatever NFC team would have made it to this game because of who they're playing, and that's Brady and Belichick. Interesting dynamic. We'll continue to process what to expect on Sunday. Tony D, Ron Culver, it's Radio Row, SB Nation Radio.
This is an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center, this is SB Nation AM. Presented by Berryman Automotive Products and Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Atlanta being a fantastic city to host this. Everything is in order. Everything's nice. The stadium looks beautiful. Beautiful city, especially at 5 o'clock in the morning. You got to see Atlanta at 5 o'clock in the morning, Ron. It's like the calm before the storm. It's very nice.
You know, one thing I imagine.
It's one of the things though that I don't know yet, and I have to figure this out by the end of the week because I've been walking around. I'm staying right off Centennial Olympic Park, and so I'm walking around. They've got festivities going on here, festivities going on here. The Coca-Cola Museum is there, the Georgia Aquarium, but everywhere I'm walking, I see these green scooters like everywhere. And I don't know if those are grab a scooter and take the scooter and then just drop it off wherever the heck you are. Like, just pay as you go. So, because, I'm lazy. What am I going to do? Walk 3 miles to something? Heck no. If I can take a motorized scooter, I mean, that's what I'm into. Like, I'm into that. I mean, on a scooter makes a great image, by the way, the city of Atlanta for Super Bowl week.
When you say scooter, are you talking like what you would see, like street legal scooter, or are we talking grocery store scooter?
I might be, because this is old man me kicking in, it might be termed something else, Like, Jake, is that called a scooter? Am I got this right? Yeah, he's giving me the thumbs up on the scooter. It's a, you know, it's like a Razor, like the kids had Razor scooters, right? But you get on it and you just motorized.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? And they're everywhere. Like, and I guess the
so it's not motorized.
It's motorized, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, because I see them buzzing around. So I think you just find one and you go, I need to get from point A to point B. Here's a scooter. I'll just jump on it and off I go.
You know what I say?
And
I say
when I'm there, I just let it go.
I say you just take one and go and see what happens.
My problem is I don't like looking like I don't know what I'm doing, so I'm afraid to grab a scooter and be like, where do I put the credit card? I don't know. Where's the start button? I don't know how this works. And then being like, nah, never mind. Forget it. I'll just walk.
No, I'm saying you just take one that's posted up next to a light pole.
Yeah, right. I'll just take one as we go.
Just take one. And so if it's not green, who cares?
So maybe tomorrow morning that's how I'll get here. I'll take the scooter and I'll fill you in on all the fun details of that. So the teams arrived yesterday as we get ready for Super Bowl 53. And again, as I said earlier, I really like this Super Bowl. I like this matchup. I like the dynamics between the two teams. I think nothing wrong with Kansas City. I think Kansas City is a great team, and I love Kansas City. You know, watching them, and they were fun, and what we saw in that Monday night game was great. I like this sort of dichotomy between these two teams, the villains of the Patriots and this young upstart, fresh football team from Los Angeles. I think the cities make sense. I think there's the L.A.-Boston thing that we've seen in sports time, the blue collar against this sunshine Southern California lifestyle. I think it's all there, and I think that I like that storyline. And again, this is not to knock the Chiefs. The Chiefs, coming, if they had won that game or the Saints had won the game, we would be talking about a whole different set of dynamics, but those dynamics still would have been good. This, I think, is better, just from storyline standpoint. Listen, as I said before, I grew up in Boston. I grew up in New England. I grew up with Celtics, Lakers, and I kind of got it, like, as a kid. I got it with the, hey, the lunch pail, Boston Celtics, Bostonians, you know, carrying the Herald on the tee, and the sunshine Lakers, and the people in Los Angeles who didn't even work for a living. They just went on and surfed all day and somehow made a lot of money. We never knew. It would just seem like a whole different world. Like, they weren't, you know, doing anything productive. They were just lounging around and sipping margaritas and enjoying the Los Angeles sunshine. That's kind of how I grew up, right? And this Super Bowl, because of McVay and because of Goff and because the city of L.A. just got this team from St. Louis just a couple of years ago, there is this old versus new dynamic here, whether it is sort of that Boston versus L.A. thing or the fact that the Patriots are in their 11th Super Bowl and the L.A. Rams, not the St. Louis Rams in combo of a franchise, but the L.A. Rams are just in their second. Right, go back to 1980, losing Super Bowl 14 to the Steelers. This is a fresh football team. This is a different football team. It doesn't feel like it carries the L.A. Rams with it from the Jack Youngblood, Vince Ferragamo days. It feels like a fresh team, even though it came over from St. Louis and the franchise is in its fourth Super Bowl overall. But the Patriots are an old hat, and the Rams are fresh. And I think that storyline for this Super Bowl is great. I think it's the best one in terms of storylines if you're into that thing. As far as competitive games, I don't know what you're going to get. I don't know. I think this game is going to be great. The Patriots playing close Super Bowls, I don't think it's going to be any different this year. Every year that they're in a Super Bowl, by the way, is the year I think, oh, this might be the year Brady and the Patriots roll to his... No, it's always tight. Whether it's an overtime victory against Atlanta, three-point wins early in his career, you know, Giants win by you know, a late touchdown. It's always close. It's always a good game when the Patriots are in this. So whether you like them or not, they give you entertaining football. They give you an entertaining Super Bowl. So at least you'll have that, America, while you're rooting against them, for crying out loud.
Yeah, it's almost like it's as if it's by design that keep these games close. So that way, it's like, you know what, yeah, you may hate the Patriots, you may hate the teams that are in there, but at least we're going to be entertaining. It's almost Belichick draws it up that way.
You got, this is the, yeah, right, he's just holding on, right, just waiting and waiting to the last minute. So this is the ninth Super Bowl for Belichick and Brady, and it's really, to be honest with you, a weird statistical anomaly that the fact that of eight times that they've been to the Super Bowl, it has been just by a hand, just a small margin of a victory. They never had a 49ers over the Broncos kind of Super Bowl, right, where Brady throws five touchdowns and the team they're playing against just feels overmatched and collapses and makes dumb mistakes. I mean, even in a game, a Super Bowl where one of the memories of that Super Bowl is a mistake by the Eagles in terms of how they used clock management, it's that still was a close game rather than being a blowout. So, I mean, again, back and forth with this team, no matter who they've played in the Super Bowl, the games are tight. The games are close. So, again, I expect that to be the case at Super Bowl 53. And there's really no reason to think otherwise. The Patriots are going to build their offense against what they can get away with your defense. This is why we talked about it this last week. Wade Phillips becomes one of those coaches you're going to have to watch out for and pay attention to this week and how he devises a defensive scheme. When the Chargers played the Patriots and they went defensive backs and speed, Patriots went ground, ground, ground. We'll run it down your throat if we have to. And against the Chiefs, one of the, again, the Achilles heel of Tom Brady is rush up the middle. What they did was they went and they ran the ball 40-plus times against Kansas City. This is an offense that has no other definition than we do whatever we have to do, whatever it is. Whatever you do defensively, we'll just counter it with a great game plan offensively. We're not trying to match our style to your style. Whatever your style is, we'll create a whole different one. So, again, that's why I think the Super Bowl is still going to be close. We talked about this last week, Ron. I want very badly to take the Rams, but at this stage, it's hard to do. Even though, again, two losses by the Giants and a loss by the Eagles, it's hard to do, but I guess I'll still take them. I might as well ride it all week.
No, I very much want to root for the Rams. I mean, I'm from Southern California. I should probably like some sort of feelings towards a SoCal team. But for me, it's like I'm almost siding on history here. I mean, it's just it's unfathomable to think what they've been able to accomplish in the last 20 years. And yet here we are again, same quarterback, same coach, doing the same thing they do every single year, and we should be tired of it, and I am tired of it. I wish there was new blood. But I can't help but sit there and think, like, God, how amazing would it be if they win again, and we're looking back on this 20, 25 years from now saying that was just an amazing display of football.
You know, I've talked to a lot of players who've been in Super Bowls, and when we get to the conversation of what was your week like for your first Super Bowl and all of that, you know, most of the guys will tell me, hey, yeah, game time, I was ready. You know, the first couple of snaps, I was nervous, but then it became a football game. But they all said that week leading up to the travel date and then the travel date and the city arrival, it's overwhelming. I mean, you get to a Super Bowl city, everything revolves around the game. Everything that, you know, everything is the whole city is surrounding the game. You try to shield yourself for a lot of that, but there is no escape the incredible hype of this game. And the Patriots, for them, this is just they've been through this so many times. At least Tom Brady. I mean, a lot of the guys on the teams have been here the last three years. But for Brady, again, 9 times he's done this song and dance. 9 times he's done this, show up a city. Hotel sequestered, find a place to practice, right? Get through the media stuff, get through all of the media day stuff with the media from around the world. All of the hype and hoopla, he's been doing this 9 times. And I think that's not lost on a lot of people who, again, not rooting for New England, but see this as, man, I'm not going to see this again. We're just not going to see. The league just isn't set up for this. There's always anomalies in everything. This is a massive anomaly for what the league has been trying to do forever, which is, always get teams the idea that they're never that far away from building a champion.
No, and when you talk about hype, and you know, it'll hit them tonight. You know, they can say, like, yeah, you know, game time or game prep is the same, but when you're sitting there in the juggernaut that's media night, and you just see like this huge display of fans everywhere, reporters everywhere, different booths for players to be asked questions and to answer them, then you know, like, okay, you know what, this is different. This is not normal game week.
Yeah, when the kicker has like 200 people staring at him, when the placeholder is like getting asked questions. I mean, there's a different feel to it than you know, week 10.
Exactly.
So it's you know what I mean? So, all right, coming up next, the Tom Brady retirement question may have been answered by Tom Brady himself. We'll explore that and that possibility. We are live on Radio Row in Atlanta, Super Bowl 53, SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow. on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center, this is SB Nation AM. Presented by Berryman Automotive Products and Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us on SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio, live Radio Row in Atlanta, Super Bowl 53. All right, so the Tom Brady retirement question may have already been answered by Tom Brady himself, as Tom Brady has said he is ruling out retirement, says there's zero chance of that happening. 41 years old, still at the top of his game. He says he wants to play till the age of 45. I don't blame him. If I can still do something, I would still want to do it. I mean, look, there's always factors, right? There's always family. This is a huge, you know, commitment, time and effort, right? If quarterback of the New England Patriots, but going to the Super Bowl and winning the Super Bowl, when you see guys retire immediately after that, and I think of John Elway and Peyton Manning, there's always the circumstances behind it of what does next year look like, right? What does next year mean? Do the trials and work ethic that you've got to put into a season, does that weigh into what they want to do in terms of coming back? For Peyton Manning, that was an easy decision. He didn't look like Peyton Manning. He barely was, you know, the same quarterback that we had saw in 2013 or at any point in his career when they won the Super Bowl. And won the Super Bowl mostly on defense, and he did a great job of making sure he didn't turn the ball over until the Super Bowl against Carolina. But that seemed easy. For Elway, kind of the same thing. Late 30s, realized that kind of the difficulty of winning two Super Bowls, how hard that was, feeling like this was the time. If you're going to do it at any time, this would be it. And I think for Brady, and I think if win or lose this Super Bowl, and it doesn't really, to me, it doesn't matter. The Patriots again go into the offseason as an AFC favorite, regardless of how the Chiefs are going to be looking or how any other teams are putting their team together. Because of the fact, and this is it, you, on paper you might say Chargers are better or the Chiefs are better or whatever, but because of what they do in the postseason, because of Brady and his magnificence at getting this team to the Super Bowl, regardless of how years look, right, when the Patriots don't look the part or they don't look the same or we feel like what's wrong with New England, right, it doesn't matter. Get him to the playoffs, and he gets there. That, to me, is I would keep going until I absolutely felt like, man, the work effort it would take me to get back to this point doesn't seem like I could do that, or it doesn't feel like I could make that happen. So I can understand where Brady's saying zero a chance of happening. I got a tweet from a guy who said that Brady wouldn't leave the Patriots without a backup quarterback. That's an interesting take, by the way. And Marty sent that on Twitter at Tony D Radio. Said TB12 would never leave the Pats hanging with no backup quarterback. Well, what kind of backup quarterback? Right? No backup quarterback for the New England Patriots gets significant playing time, except Matt Cassel when Brady got hurt.
Well, not only that, but
16 games out of the year.
Not only that, but when you look back on the history of it, the short history of any backup quarterback they've had, they've all been traded away.
Yeah, exactly.
That was really good. I mean, you had Castle, then you had Garoppolo, you had Brissett.
Yeah, Brissett. Again, Brady plays 16 games every year because, again, the way the AFC runs, you don't get home field advantage in week 13. He's usually playing for something even late into the season. But look, I've done the statistical work. I've gone through the statistics of his backup quarterbacks. There is no one, again, except Matt Cassel, who played a whole season after Brady got injured in week 1 in 2008. There's no quarterback with real statistical significance or statistical profile to make you think that they would be all set, right? The verdict was still out of Jimmy Garoppolo. Yeah, he looked good, but you never know, right? Brissett, same thing. I mean, Matt Cassel. I mean, name them. Ryan Mallett. Name the backup quarterbacks. Unless Brady is doing the analysis and telling himself the Patriots are going to be all set with this kid, whoever that kid may be, whoever that guy may be, I don't know how you determine or how he determines that the Patriots are set at that position. Nobody gets significant playing time, and you need it in this league, right? Every single draft pick that we go through in terms of, yeah, is he going to be a franchise quarterback? Is he going to be the guy that's going to – we have to wait because this league is so different. So I don't know what that means. And if I'm Brady, I've got to be honest with you. I don't know if I care enough to make sure they're all set at quarterback. That's a business problem. That's a salary cap issue. What is he going to wait till he's 50 until they find the right quarterback?
No, and that's the other thing too. Even in game, you don't really ever see a quarterback coming in during garbage time. And have a lot to do with the fact that the Patriots don't have a whole lot of garbage time. They're still – the game is – I can't remember even this season or the last two seasons. I don't remember a game where the Patriots just jumped out to an early lead and just coasted.
Yeah.
It always seems like it's coming down to the wire with, there may be 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And they're just like, oh, we'll just – Brady will just – kill the game and kill the clock.
Yeah, and especially late in the season. They usually get everybody's best shot late. But again, they're always still playing for, the number one seed overall or whatever it is that they're playing for. And in that respect, it is very difficult for anybody else to get playing time other than an injury or suspension to Tom Brady. So I don't know where he would find his backup quarterback. And, it's not like they're taking somebody with the fifth pick overall. And that's not to say those guys are the ones you're looking for. You can get good quarterbacks in round two, late in the first round. We have found good quarterbacks everywhere. Right. They found one in the sixth round. Exactly. So,
Do you think that has anything to do with it? Maybe he doesn't want a backup quarterback to come in and show him up because that's how he got his job.
Yeah, I don't. That's a good point. I don't know.
God, we don't need no backup. Point. Trust me.
So in a lot of respects, listen. If I'm 41 years old and I'm a quarterback in this league and I'm going to my ninth Super Bowl and I got a really good chance of winning it, I mean, this isn't like, oh well, everything's got to go right. No. They got a great chance of winning this. I'd still roll along until I absolutely can't do it. The question becomes, right? And I think you and I have sort of. I think most people have thought about this. The question becomes, is at what point do you feel you're still doing it? And the team doesn't feel you're still doing it, right? Because that's the balance. Right now, he's doing it. We're at the Super Bowl. They're at the Super Bowl. But there's going to be a point where they're not going to be in a Super Bowl. And Brady's going to have a good year, not a great year. And it's just going to be a little different, right? And then the next year might be a little bit worse than the year. But still, not by Brady's standard. Maybe Brady still feels that's the problem. That's where it comes into play. You don't give quarterbacks a job for life. You don't give these positions to whenever they want to quit, right? If Brady wants to play until he's 45, he knows as well as anybody that better be productive at 45. That better mean we're doing this again a year from now, 2 years from now, or at least close. And that's tough because if there is a person that probably should go out on his terms, it would be Brady. But he might not go out on his terms. And I think that's the fear of guys who are getting older in this league, is that Elway didn't want to be cut, right? But that's what happens if you're 45 and you still can't play the position you're still believing you can. You don't want to bounce around late in your career. You don't want to lose your job to somebody else, have to play for another team. That's what happens when you're older and the team says, we want to go with somebody younger because we don't trust at 42, 43, that this position is going to be solidified by you. But he's a statistical anomaly. We don't see quarterbacks go to 9 Super Bowls. We don't see quarterbacks win 5 or 6. He's a statistical anomaly.
We don't see quarterbacks at the age of 41 still performing and still getting your team to the Super Bowl.
Exactly. Exactly. And he's not in. This is the cool thing about this, right? He's not doing the old man self-deprecation jokes that I would probably do if I was in his shoes, because that's how I roll.
Yeah, he wouldn't be talking about taking a green scooter.
Right. No. Absolutely.
He'll
like,
walk.
Nah, I get up every morning and I run 6 miles before I even have breakfast. That's what I do to stay healthy. And I'm just like, well, last night I had 2 pieces of pizza and I could barely walk out of the hotel room. Like, that's me, right? Like, well, I missed the team meeting because I overslept. Or, no, I got up at 4:30 because we old people, that's what we do. That's what I would be doing. That's all the jokes I would be making all week if I was a 41-year-old quarterback playing in this game. Like, oh, man, it's really neat to be playing with a guy on the other side who was 8 when I won my first Super Bowl. Like, I would be rolling with that. Are you kidding me? But Tom Brady doesn't do that because he doesn't feel like he's 41 because he keeps himself healthy and he keeps himself in shape. My God, he's going to probably be doing this for a few more years. It's Tony D. It's Ron Culver. We're live in Atlanta, Super Bowl 53 on Radio Row on SB Nation Radio.
This is an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center, this is SB Nation AM. Presented by Berryman Automotive Products and Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, live in Atlanta, Super Bowl 53 on Radio Row. I had to rethink my thought process on the NFL overtime over the weekend. I was talking to Chad Brown, former Pro Bowl linebacker, and we were having this conversation about, all right, the overtime rule in the NFL. So he says, what do you think should happen? And I'm like, I don't know. What do you think should happen? You actually played in the league. I'm just a crazy lunatic fan. And I said, listen, I understand where people are coming from with this. I want to see the team with the, you know, everybody wants to see the team with the ball at least once in overtime. And then I said, listen, in the I don't mind the rule in the regular season the way it is. I think it's fine the way it is. I think in the playoffs, play 10 minutes. But then he said to me, he says, well, if you play 10 minutes and it's tied, what do you do? Do you play another 10 minutes? What happens when you go into a double overtime? And I was like, you know, that's a good point. And he said, well, he goes, that's really detrimental to the team. And I said, well, would you go sudden death? He goes, well, if you go sudden death in the second overtime, why wouldn't you go in the first overtime? I'm like, yeah. I said, well, could you do the same rule? He goes, again, if you're doing the same rule in the second overtime, why wouldn't you do it in the first overtime? I'm like, yeah, well, what's the solution? He actually likes the rule. He actually likes it. He says, as a player, I like it. I mean, defensively, you should be able to make a stop. He says, defensively, you should be able to make a play. You should be able to get the ball back. He says it's advantageous to be the team second, even though, yep, you give up a touchdown, you lose. He goes, but if you can hold the team to a field goal or force them to punt, you're in complete advantage situation. He likes it. But I didn't think about that process, about the 10 minutes, and then what do you do in double overtime? I just thinking, like, hey, it's 10 minutes. You know, play,
you play another 10 minutes.
Play another. Yeah, right. Where are we going? We're not doing anything. It's a postseason. Why not?
Yeah.
So,
I mean, you know,
I don't know. I said the biggest problem I had. Yeah.
I look at it in these terms. You know, we'll always go back to, was it Syracuse, Connecticut?
In the six overtime game.
I mean, you know, that for them, it wasn't sudden death. It was hellacious, but that's a rare thing to have happen. I mean, normally when you have one overtime, it gets settled. It'll get settled in that overtime. Somebody's going to get a field goal. Somebody's going to get at least one score. You know, if it goes to double overtime, then, hey, we have more talking points. And, yeah, you know, maybe strenuous on the guys, but they get a week off.
So do you think, like my biggest problem, though, with it, this was my biggest problem with the AFC Championship game. Again, I don't necessarily have a problem with the overtime rule. And listen, and I'm a guy, I hate to say this, but I'm not one of those people that sees something and then wants massive changes immediately just to satisfy something that I see. Like, I want a conversation. I don't want the NFL to go, oh, my God, Patrick Mahomes never got the ball. We got to change it. No, that's a longer conversation than just freaking out that Patrick Mahomes didn't get to touch the ball in overtime in the AFC title game. But the Patriots in that game had scored a touchdown late. There was like 38 seconds left on the clock. The Chiefs went down the field to kick the game-tying field goal to send it into overtime. But the Chiefs' defense was really gassed when they went out there. And that is something I don't want in overtime, is I don't want a defense that had been on the field give up a touchdown. Ugh. And then they get back out there, because it is more likely that you're going to pound it down their throat and then all of a sudden score. But that is part of the game, right? I mean, that's just the way the game is played out. There's really, to be honest with you, nothing we can do about it. I mean, other than, you know, if you want to change the rule, change the rule. But the regular season is never going to be 5 minutes, 10-minute overtimes. Just play it out. It's going to have to be something that can be quick or can be long, but also can be quick, but not standard. The playoffs can be a different angle.
Or why can't we do this? But why can't we have a 10-minute overtime, and then when the second one comes along? Because, I mean, again, we're not talking regular season. If, you know, regular season, if a game ends right now, if a game ends tied, it's tied. They don't go further. So what if you had an overtime where it was 10 minutes, no matter what, in the first overtime, and then if it goes to the second overtime, then it's sudden death.
I don't have a problem with that, I guess.
I mean, why not? That way, both teams should have a chance to get the ball. I've never seen anyone have a 10-minute drive, although it's not you know, not out of the realm of possibility. But if you did, if a team did have a 10-minute drive, most likely they have scored.
But here's the other question I have: why does the why do both teams need to have the ball? If you set up an overtime and you say this is what happens, if it happens, it happens.
Just to satisfy the Twitter trolls,
I guess. Yeah.
I mean, that's it.
Yeah. Another situation that I brewed up on Twitter is I responded to one of Adam Schefter's texts about the congressman in Texas that was, you know, making a big spiel about. He brought out the big pictures of the non-pass interference call in the NFC title game, which I thought was a big waste of time in Congress to be talking about this. So I said, it's time to get over this. And I got this incredible text back that said, say you're diagnosed with cancer, then after months of chemo and radiation, your doctor comes to you and says, oh, sorry, turns out you don't have cancer. Blown call. Get over it. You think that would be fair? What an extreme example.
I was wondering where you're going with that. I'm like,
to use over a football situation in a non-call. So he's equating you going through months and months of chemo and radiation for cancer you don't have to a football team getting a blown PI call and losing out on the Super Bowl.
Guarantee, like, there are Saints fans going, preach! That's how we feel.
Exactly.
Oh, which, by the way, cruising around Atlanta, have you seen any of the billboards?
I have not seen the billboards yet. I probably will be driving around Atlanta a little more. I'd like to see more of the billboards, but I have not seen the billboards yet. Oh, I want to so badly, because I would pull over and take a picture.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine
it's gonna be the souvenir of Super Bowl week.
I imagine there's got to be like a poster or something that's going to be put up somewhere near the stadium.
Just saying, it's got to be, right?
Saints robbed.
Yeah, right. Completely.
But you're in Atlanta. They're reveling in the fact that the Saints aren't there.
Oh, they're loving it. Are you kidding? They love it. Are you kidding? But you know what? I think this is going to be prevalent as the week goes on because, again, the teams arrived last night. And there's just this general feel-good, just in the first day, of feel-good Super Bowl atmosphere. And this is what I was saying last week about the NFL not publicly making the stance on that blown PI call. Is that I don't think they want to take anything away from what we're going to get this week.
Right.
Right? The Rams are in the Super Bowl. There's nothing you can do. The Rams are in the Super Bowl, and they are the legitimate NFC champions, blown call or not, because blown calls happen all the time.
Exactly. I mean, they've done enough.
They're the legitimate NFC champion.
They've done enough. They admitted to it, saying, hey, yeah, our bad. And they
called them privately, and that was it.
And they find, what's his name? Why am I blanking on the guy's name?
Oh, yeah, Robbie Coleman. Nicky Coleman,
yeah.
They fined him $26,000 for something they said didn't happen. So, but yeah, and that's basically the only public statement they get out. But if they had put out a big release saying, you know, our apologies to Saints fans, this will never happen again. This isn't our officials failed on X, Y, and Z. I know for Saints fans, you're not comforted by this at all. And I'm not telling you to be, but this is their biggest show, and they're not going to diminish their biggest show. The second the show is over, the second that this thing is being packed up and leaving Atlanta, that's when they might do something. They're not going to diminish any of the teams here. Because you know how that'll work, right? Goodell will say something publicly. Sean McVay will have to answer for it. That's at least my theory. Who knows? Wednesday, Goodell could go, yeah, it was absolutely egregious.
Well, I'm just waiting for tonight when some Saints beat reporter who's covering the Super Bowl is there.
Completely.
He goes, you know, to Sean McVay, hey, do you feel your team deserves to be here?
He's going to ask him anyway, right? He's going to ask it. Yeah, exactly. Goodell's statement or no Goodell's statement. Yep. He's getting asked that anyway.
No question. All of a sudden, the Rams are the villain in New Orleans and the Patriots. Yeah. You know, you got a lot of new Patriot fans in New Orleans.
But, hey, listen, the blown calls are bad, right? I mean, we get it. I mean, there's nobody likes to win with a blown call. Everybody hates to lose with a blown call. I'll never forget Super Bowl 40. I'm a Steeler fan. I hadn't seen the Steelers, you know, win a Super Bowl since I was a, you know, very, very little kid. And I was on cloud nine. So they beat Seattle. But that game had a lot of blown calls in it against Seattle. I mean, you ask any Seahawks fan, and they'll tell you, there was a lot of blown calls in that Super Bowl. It did it takeaway from the Super Bowl experience for me? Not really. I mean, I celebrated, waved my towel, bought the gear, etc. But it also, it bothered me when people would bring that up, and I'd have to go, well, it's part of the game. What do you want? And I'd have to defend it. Like, it was I don't want to defend blown calls.
Yeah,
I don't want to defend my team's championship and say, well, yeah, I'm sorry your team got screwed, but, man, everybody gets screwed. I don't like that. So
I think at this point, the only way Saints fan is happy is if, you know, forever in the record books, put an asterisk next to it.
Right, yeah, right, exactly. Nobody likes that. Nobody, you know, I'm sure the Kansas City Royals hear about the blown call in the 85 World Series.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they hear about it, but they're not giving the title back. Right? They're not giving the World Series champion. St. Louis had chances to win it. They had a blown call go against them, and the Royals took advantage of it and won the World
and
Series.
And let's not forget, Saints had the ball first in overtime.
Exactly.
So, I mean,
stop.
The coin flip went your way, and you could have marched down the field, scored a touchdown, gotten a field goal, did what you had to do, but, you know, interception happened. So, I mean, the game wasn't won in regulation. It was won in overtime.
Exactly.
And each team had a chance.
Hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's, by the way. We are live on Radio Row, Super Bowl 53.
This is Mike Herzing from Let's Talk Wheels with an automotive tip brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. Modern automobiles have over 65 computers and an average price over $36,000. But I still get emails from people that go to the auto parts store to diagnose their car. Folks, why go to an auto parts store to fix your car? Most of the employees are just kids and have no tech training. If they could fix cars, they'd be out doing it and making more money. All they do is look at a $30 code reader, give you the trouble code, and some of the parts that could cause it. And would you like fries with that? I know they want to sell parts, but the parts they sell aren't original parts and they fail all the time. But people still fall for this. The same people go to the first aid aisle at Walmart when they suspect a heart attack. Come on, please go to a shop you trust with certified technicians to get a quality repair with a warranty. Spend your money wisely. This is Mike Herzing from Let's Talk Wheels, who brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. For more tips, go to letstalkwheels.com and find us on Facebook as Let's Talk Wheels.
Choose a new path this year at the Jeep Start Something New event, where you'll find great deals are just the beginning of the great adventures. I was made for this. Make a grand entrance in the Jeep Grand Cherokee, the most awarded SUV ever. Because a brand new year means you deserve a stylish new look. And nothing looks better than confidence, which you'll find plenty of in the Jeep Compass. With over 70 standard and available safety and security features. If it's a new peak you're looking to conquer, find the SUV recognized for reaching the top in the Jeep Wrangler. Awarded the 2019 Motor Trend SUV of the Year. Or, if all you need is a getaway, start your road trip in a Jeep Cherokee with up to 31 MPG highway. But no matter where the new year leads you, start it with a great deal at the Jeep Start Something New event. Jeep Grand Cherokee has received more awards over its lifetime than any other SUV. EPA estimated 4-cylinder 4x2. Actual mileage may vary. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
You're listening to an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center, this is SB Nation AM. Presented by Berryman Automotive Products and Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so the New England Patriots had 35,000 people turn out at Gillette Stadium for their send-off. So they got here last night, and Belichick said it's the biggest send-off we've ever had. I think there's a reason for that, right? You know, we talk about the Patriots. This is old hat. Generation of New England fans don't know anything other than the team is good and goes to Super Bowls all the time. But I do think that when Brady talked about everybody thinks we suck, right? And people in New England are very protective, and they're very like it's us against the world, and you know. There's a little wall. And I think this is one of the reasons why there was 35,000 people. I think there's a specialness to this team in terms of, hey, you know what? Everybody doesn't believe in us. And if they don't believe in the Patriots, they don't believe in us. And we're all in this together. And you know what? Screw everybody else. We're going to go send our Patriots off to the Super Bowl because everybody thinks we're no good. And everybody's wondering what was wrong with us. And how in the world did we lose to Jacksonville? And how in the world did Tennessee have their way with us for 60 minutes of football? Whatever it is, I think there is a feeling in New England that, you know what? If nobody believes in us,
we believe in us, and that doesn't matter. And I think that's one of the reasons why they had, as Belichick describes, one of their biggest send-offs they've ever had. You know what? I mean, you think about it. If he's saying that, and that's true, and I don't know the numbers for all the send-offs. I mean, I don't even know if 35,000 is accurate. We'd never know with the crowd. But the reality of it is, if he's right, let's say he's right, okay? And that it is the biggest send-off they've ever had. It's bigger than the team that was undefeated back in 2007 and was hanging and was dealing with Spygate when everybody was really against him. It's bigger than when Brady got suspended for four games and they still went to the Super Bowl. Think about what that fan base has had to deal with from the outside, you know, to them, right? All the fan bases that tell them not only is their team no good, but their team cheats, their quarterback is a cheater, right? All of that. And I think this season, when we've picked apart the Patriots, and I said this at the beginning, I don't think anybody thought the Patriots sucked, but they did wonder, all right, where are the Patriots when it comes to a team like Kansas City, even though they beat them in Foxborough? Where is this team who, that again, lost to Tennessee, not just lost to Tennessee, the Titans beat them up pretty good. And there were moments where the Patriots didn't look right, didn't feel right. But, again, push all that aside, it doesn't matter with this team. I'm one of those people, and I've said this before, when people point out all the teams the Patriots lost to, I don't care. I don't care who they've lost to. That's irrelevant in the NFL. It's not college football. It's completely irrelevant. Lose to every terrible team you want. As long as in the end you're in the postseason, when you're in the postseason, you get to where we are now, Super Bowl 53 in Atlanta. Tony D, Ron Culver, it's SB Nation Radio.